Manchester City are still alive here. Balotelli, Aguero!
Here goes Ronaldo!
Crossed, and Dempsey's denied again, and Donovan has scored! Oh, can you believe this?
Surging forward with real menace here. Brilliant from Messi. Oh, what a goal that is!
From the Gao Studios in Houston, this is Soccer Matters. Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Here's Glenn Davis.
Ah, the sky is falling. United States 3-2 losers to Mexico in front of 90,000 people. Huge TV ratings. And, of course, huge passion and emotion around this. We are going to talk about it tonight on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. Are you still hurting? Do I need to talk you off the ledge? Or if you're a Mexico fan, you might be in a party mode still. Yes, I'm talking to you, U.S. soccer and Mexican fans tonight. I want to hear from you at 713-780-3776. Mexico punches their ticket to the Confederations Cup in Russia. Epic volley from Paul Aguilar, who probably plays the best game he's ever played for Mexico. The difference coming in extra time. There's only about 2 minutes of extra time left. Essentially, potentially everybody thought we were going to penalty kicks. So let's talk about it tonight on Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. My thanks, as always, Squirt, 7-Up, Danish Inspirations, Contemporary Furniture, the Daspit Law Firm, Amigo Energy, Bud Light, Bar Munich, and the gorgeous Gale. We appreciate all your great support of this show. Now, if this went to penalty kicks and the U.S. wins, it'd be a completely different tone today. Everybody might even be lauding and laying off Jurgen Klinsmann. With the healthy pressure is fair, but it's more than just a coach. Coach is a big part of it, no doubt. Players are culpable as well. U.S. soccer is culpable. And these are not moments that are indifferent to U.S. soccer's past. Let's not forget, 1998, the debacle at the World Cup. Steve Sampson was the coach. Totally out of control, the whole thing. A mess. Let's not forget 2006. Or make that, was it 6 or, 2006, Bruce Arena. 2002 was our great World Cup. Big problems there. So historically, this has happened. The real question is, what's coming through? Where is the next Landon Donovan? The striker position, is that solely Jozy Altidore's? Because in Major League Soccer, I can assure you, there are very few American players or U.S. national team eligible players playing in the striker position. I can name a few off the top of my head. Will Bruhn, C.J. Sapan, Juan Agudelo, Chris Wondolowski. There may be one or two others. How about in skill positions or as real central playmakers? Benny Failhaber of Sporting Kansas City, who some say should have been called in. I'm a little concerned about Major League Soccer now, not playing American players in some of those roles, because if you're going to spend designated player money, it's going to be on the striker position with Gio De Santos and Robbie Keane, Sebastian Giovinco, right? David Villa in New York. So I want your thoughts. 713-780-3776. Mexico, clearly the better team. Mexico clearly deserved it. What stunned me a little bit was how passive the U.S. was and how they got pinned back early. Now, tonight we'll have DeMarcus Beasley on the show. I caught up with DeMarcus today down at Houston Dynamo practice. He's going to address all these issues. I'm going to play this pretty early for you at some point, but I do want to hear from you. 713-780-3776. Joining me in about a half hour will be Naib Moran. He's been on the show before from ESPN FC. Tom Marshall later on from ESPN FC. He was out at the game as well. And then we'll have Steve Jones, Houston Baptist University, in the college game, knocking off two ranked opponents over the weekend. Houston Baptist University under Steve Jones plays in the Western Athletic Conference. So 713-780-3776. Give me your thoughts. Quick shout out here. I'm sorry about that. Just hearing another bit of programming in my ear here. Quick shout out here to the Dynamo Youth Soccer Club. Marty Espinosa's Memorial Golf Tournament was recent. Big thoughts to Marty Espinosa, who is a big piece of our youth soccer community here. So a big shout out to the Dynamo Soccer Club out in Cy Fair. 713-780-3776. We stream at ESPN975.com. Are we in panic mode now if we're a United States soccer fan? How much is on the players, coaches? Only thing I can say about Jurgen Klinsmann right now, despite some of the tactical choices and player choices, is I just don't like the lack of accountability on his end. To blame the Gold Cup on officials, to me, is an absolute joke. To be honest with you, Mexico didn't play well in the Gold Cup either. Let's really be honest. Nobody played well in that tournament. The game lives up to the drama. 90,000 people, huge TV audience, goals traded early between Chicharito and Jeff Cameron. Cameron comes out of this game being one of the shining stars for me. Mexico, the better team again, clearly. U.S. selected to defend deeper. I think the pressure was originally designed for the halfway line, according to DeMarcus Beasley. They got pushed back organically to around their 18. Couldn't hold the ball for beans. And I just think it's tough to play soccer games like that. So like I said, back in 2010 in South Africa, at what point in our development as a soccer-playing nation do we get control of games a little bit more through ball possession? I'm not saying we have to own it. I'm not saying we're going to own it against the world's greatest teams. But against Mexico, some of the better successes come when we've pressed higher up the field at times and we've been able to hold the ball for legitimate time periods. That really didn't happen a lot in this game. I don't know if Jurgen Klinsmann didn't believe that this group could play a pressing, proactive game, but he's used the word proactive a lot. Or should we just accept that we're the U.S. and we should just be a hardworking defender and counterattacking team? I, for one, like the fact that Jurgen Klinsmann wants to try and tip the scale and push us outside of our comfort zone, although it's not happening very effectively right now. It's been the summer of sadness. 713-780-3776. I'm not delirious, but I do know that anytime you play Mexico, if you're going to just sit back on your 18 and expect good things to happen and expect not for them not to carve out some chances over the course of 90 minutes, it's going to be pretty tough. Let's get your thoughts. Here's what the quote was from Jurgen Klinsmann. Quote, in general, it should be our goal to be more on the creative side and on the possession side rather than reacting to the game. Now, there are games that you have to react to certain things that happen, and we reacted too much in the second half against Mexico to their game. I cannot predict how long it will take, but you have to have a goal. He's talking about trying to be a more proactive, possession-oriented team. If you don't have a goal, then you just stick to the status quo. I think that would be the wrong way. I can't argue with that. I could argue with the way you're going about doing it. And this is not just Jurgen Klinsmann and a bunch of players. It's the entire soccer landscape in this country. It's U.S. soccer. It's the maturity of our player development system and the challenges that we have here. And they're big. I don't know how you're going to change the soccer culture at the grassroots level. 713-780-3776 is the number. Let's go to Adrian. Adrian, what's on your mind? Adrian.
Just jumped in the car and was listening to this on the radio, and it's been on our mind. Love soccer, coach soccer, ref it, and it was just, you know, this is one of my favorite sports. So to watch that game with all the hype, and it's always a good competitive, physical game, U.S. and Mexico. Yeah, we seem to be on our heels a lot, and we weren't winning balls since forward in the air. Just didn't seem to have that hustle for the ball. On a coaching point, one thing I noticed is why don't we sub more? Maybe get some of the younger players there that had something to prove when you had, you know, 15, 20 minutes left of the, you know, regular play. The second goal we thought looked offside for Mexico. No. No one called that. It wasn't until a little bit later that even the commentators were starting to say, hey, that ball may have been offside. But I still don't think we deserve to win. I mean, we were dominated, but I think we could have showed a lot more, even though did have a few plays here and there that were creative and didn't get the equalizer. Just your thought.
Yeah.
That's kind of what a group of us understand.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I mean, I questioned the tactics early of allowing Mexico the confidence to have the ball and defend deep and then try and play for the counterattack over the course of 90 minutes, because I think there are times you have to counter pressure with your own pressure. And I think that addresses kind of where you say you don't think they were hustling. I just think it was loose, and I think we were dropped off a little bit too much. And that there were times in this game, you really do have to make a stand and get up the field higher and have periods where you make Mexico defend. I mean, Paul Aguilar, this was the perfect night for him. He's allowed to go forward. This is what he's best at. If he has to defend one-on-one, he's a different type of soccer player. So I don't know if Jurgen Klinsmann didn't believe this was an athletic enough lineup to play a pressing and a higher pressing game. But however it was intended, just let me finish, Adrian, because I'm answering your question. Because initially, DeMarcus Beasley told me that the line of resistance and where the pressure would come from would be the halfway line. But that turned into about 30 yards out and in and around your 18-yard box for the majority of the game. Adrian, you're up. Anything else?
No.
All right.
No, well, I'm good. Seeing how they play, understanding that, players, they want to try to conserve, and that whole law of conservation and energy we try to teach players. And it's hard to say when do you run, when do you press. Was that a coaching thing? The fact that we didn't seem to use as many subs at our disposal. I know sometimes you don't want to mess up the flow. If it's working, if it's not broken, don't fix it. Leave it alone. But when you're down and you need to mix it up and maybe get some different matchups,
well, the guy he brought on, DeAndre Yedlin and Bobby Wood, scored a tying goal in overtime. I guess you're saying you would have liked to have seen subs earlier. Adrian, thank you very much for the phone call. I appreciate it tonight. Thank you for listening to this program.
No, thank you and appreciate the program. Y'all have a good evening.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Adrian. So good stuff there from Adrian. 713-780-3776. Let's try Ray. Ray, what's on your mind, Ray?
Well, first, I want to talk some stuff about the Mexican side. And what I liked about this system is that three-man up top was amazing. Their interlinking and their connection, right, it looked like they had been playing together for 3 years in that system instead of 4 days. And then if you look at that back line, Moreno and Reyes did not get a lot of playing time since the World Cup because of Moreno's injuries, and yet they were able to shut down Jozy Altidore and phase out Clint Dempsey of the whole game. And then El Capitan played phenomenal and silenced the critics and put the demons to rest against playing the United States. The last three times that he's played against the United States, Mexico hasn't lost. And he hasn't been red carded or given anything stupid to cross Mexico. This is a mental maturity of the Mexican national team that you have never seen before, in my personal opinion. And with all that pressure, I think speaks volumes.
I think you're making a great point. Emotional control has always been a downfall of Mexico, especially during those time periods when the U.S. was dominating them. I thought their emotional control, their focus on the task at hand, all something that behooved them in the end of this. This was a very attack-oriented lineup that was put out. Peralta, Jimenez, Chicharito, all in and around the box. It allowed Aguilar to get forward. Outside backs were joining in. I thought Jermaine Jones and DeMarcus Beasley, all three goals came from that side of the field. I think Jermaine Jones really struggled from a positional standpoint. I see write-ups from guys that say his grit, determination. Well, no, for lack of a better word, no blank, right? No blank.
Right.
Of course we know that's what he brings to the game. Positionally, though, tactically, he struggled immensely in front of Beasley, is caught out of position consistently, and that was an area where Aguilar and Mexico went after the United States and reaped a lot of success and benefit. Peralta, Jimenez, and Chicharito on the field together, excellent. But again, I go back to the way you start the game. Mexico comes out aggressive. They want the ball. They want to be proactive. The U.S. is a bit passive, conceding it to him, and I think you set yourself up for a long night.
Well, you have to blame Michael Braley. He was playing against in that central midfield, high up top of that diamond, and right, it worked when Jesus Zavala was there, and they could, he looked great. But you had Rafael Márquez. You're trying to tell me that you can't move around him? And Dempsey,
well, you're not going to move around him, but you're not going to move around him, Ray, unless you have the ball. And you didn't have the ball much. And that's a big part of the problem, because when the U.S. has beaten Mexico, they have had good periods of play in the game when Mexico is forced to defend and they're put under pressure. I'm not saying it's dominant like the way Mexico does to the U.S., but they counter pressure with pressure. This never happened. The U.S. looked dangerous a couple of times on counterattacks. A lot of times they fizzled out because Jozy Altidore couldn't control the ball or gave it away. Clint Dempsey didn't get on the ball a lot, and I think we're being a little bit harsh on those two guys because, you know, we were playing for a magical moment in this game. And, of course, Rafa Márquez is on the team not to defend. Rafa Márquez is on the team to lead the attack for Mexico from the back. That's how confident they were.
Right. And I'm just saying, Glenn, and I really believe that the cupboard's a little bit bare. You know, Reyna, Donovan, Ernie Stewart, Brian McBride, they ain't walking through that locker room. Where are these players?
Well, I'll tell you what, Brian McBride was effective and I would even put Brian Ching in below him as well. When Brian Ching played, McBride, so many more games. But both those guys were good at two things, and I mean very good, at heading a ball and holding the ball. We don't have that anymore, and we're playing with a lone striker. We don't have somebody at that level who can do that.
And that player, Jozy Altidore,
is, I don't feel, is getting enough pressure for that position. I know he got dropped in the Gold Cup, but in MLS, I mentioned earlier in this show, you got very few American players or national team eligible players that are playing in that position in Major League Soccer regularly. The names I can come up with are Will Bruhn, CJ Sapong, Juan Agudelo, Chris Wondolowski. Yeah, you're right. Where is the next Landon Donovan? And maybe we're just a country of hardworking soccer players, and we're never going to be able to harness this. I don't believe that. I think there's a lot of young kids that are technical, but problem is, this is a grassroots level. People are trying to appease parents and make sure that they're happy, and we're not as focused on as much on player development as we claim to be. That's for sure. And this is a U.S. soccer thing as well, because they've made Jurgen Klinsmann both the coach and the technical director. I'd love for somebody to lay out the plan on how we're going to change and begin to produce more players that can change the course of a game. We certainly are good at getting hardworking, dependable type players. I don't think there's any question, with tremendous spirit, some very, very good technical players as well, but there's just not enough coming through the pipeline behind right now. Maybe it's just a down period. Ray, I've got to head out.
Right.
Thank you very much for the phone call tonight. Appreciate it. Dylan, stay with us, 713-780-3776. Soccer fans, Amigo Energy remind you that while November 1st is daylight savings time, any time is electricity savings time for Amigo Energy. This month, the featured product, Assurance 24. The program offers a single all-in rate, all usage levels, with no customer service or payment fees. Now remember, there's no customer service or payment fees. The program ideal for apartments or for anyone who doesn't use a lot of electricity. If you're tired of getting hit with the low usage fees or having to pay fees when you call in your payment, well, Assurance 24 is the program for you. AmigoEnergy.com/soccermatters. Enroll today or call 888-995-9299. That's AmigoEnergy.com/soccermatters, 888-995-9299. Sign up for electricity savings with Amigo Energy, and we do thank Amigo Energy. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We got more to come here. It's Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Time for a little 7-Up break. How about that?
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the Gao Studios in Houston, here's Glenn Davis.
Well, it's been a very slow start for this U.S. team, but sometimes these set pieces can get you back in. That's a lovely delivery from Michael Bradley, whipping it in, and Jeff Cameron arriving right on time to head it home. It's a wonderful delivery from Michael Bradley, and Jeff Cameron, unmarked, in the box, 6 yards out, makes no mistake about it, and gets this U.S. team back in it.
So that was Jeff Cameron avoiding, he actually lost Rafa Márquez and Uribe Peralta. I have never been a big fan of strikers coming back and marking people. They tend to concede a lot of goals and lose their concentration. Their concentration is not the same as when they're trying to score goals. I don't think there's any question about that. Hey, let me do a little housekeeping here, and then we'll get back to it. The phone lines again at 713-780-3776. Soccer fans, a moment for Bud Light. They are the official beer of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Bud Light reminds you, listen each and every Tuesday night and get in the game and be a part of the show. This is your opportunity tonight to have a platform and talk the game of soccer. And Bud Light reminds you, not just to be a listener, but participate sometimes. Bud Light reminds you, again, to check out Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Bud Light is the perfect beer for whatever happens and the official beer of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. The Daspit Law Firm is working for you 24/7. The Houston personal injury attorney handles personal injury cases from plant and refinery accidents, medical injury, industrial accidents, 18-wheeler accidents, right down to boat and car. DaspitLaw.com. That's DaspitLaw.com, 713-364-0915. DaspitLaw.com. We thank John Daspit for his support of this program. And again, they want you to rest more assured in times of stress, depending on your circumstances, that you have a hard-hitting personal injury attorney on your side to fight for your right for compensation. You can contact the Daspit Law Firm, supporters of Soccer Matters on ESPN, 975-713-364-0915, or toll-free 888-273-1045, both in English and Spanish. Again, 713-780-3776. I got Dynamo Seattle tickets. I will give some of those away here tonight. We are talking U.S.-Mexico right now. Let me take this phone call from Dylan. Dylan, what's on your mind?
Greetings to you, staff, and all Soccer Matters listeners out there.
Thank you, Dylan.
Sir.
Thank you, sir. What's on your mind?
On my mind is the Mexico-USA game. What I see is that, you know, Bradley working hard, Breezley working hard, James working hard, even though he was out of position, he was trying to make things happen. But the thing is that you can't be walking in attack mode. You can't be walking when you're in defense mode. And that makes the U.S. kind of look flat a little bit, even though they get back in the game and they take the game into overtime. But, you know, Mexico, you know, they got players on paper and on the season. They did what they had to do, but USA could have shown more effort than other players. You know, it's like four players are slinging that USA game. What do you think about that, Glenn?
Yeah, I mean, listen, there's been up and down periods in U.S. soccer. This is probably a down period right now, isn't it? By the way, the Netherlands today got knocked out of the European Championship. So it happens to a lot of soccer-playing nations. I think the bigger question is what's the role of U.S. soccer in the future? I'd like to see a little bit more detailed plan instead of the generalizations of what is going on in this country player development-wise. I got it. We got an academy. I think a lot of this is really going to come down to how serious the investment of player development is with Major League Soccer teams. That's going to be a lot of it. You know, some are saying Klinsmann is overpromised. He's under-delivering. Yeah, I think there's a lot on his shoulders. I don't think there's any questions. I don't think he helps his case now by being less accountable in recent times, which that bothers me. I was all for his signing because I thought we had to go out of the comfort zone in this country.
Right.
But it doesn't mean he's not a big piece of what's going on here, certainly with the full national team. But don't forget, he's also the technical director here in the United States.
Right.
You know, he sent Fabian Johnson home. That was a bit weird that he sent home. And that I think there's more to that story. Klinsmann was angered that he wouldn't continue on. You know, was Fabian Johnson thinking about Borussia Mönchengladbach and going, hey, I don't want to go anymore because I don't want to get hurt? If he's thinking about that at that time in a game against Mexico, that's disturbing to me. That's very disturbing. If.
One game at a time, but you got to leave it all on the field.
But let's understand, you can't change a soccer culture simply with a coach.
No.
You need to understand that. But he needs to be accountable. He is the technical director. So I'd like to know a little bit more what's going on player development-wise. And, you know, of course, it all gets compounded by the fact that the United States, you know, lost to Honduras in Olympic qualifying. They're playing Canada right now. I'm not even sure what the result is. I think we need to find out what that is, the U.S. and Canada right now. Because if they win that, then they go and play Colombia to go to the Olympics. Not going to the Olympics would be a big blow. Anything else, Dylan?
So I want to say, Glenn, I wish the show was every day, man. I can't wait this 1 week to talk about soccer, but you do a great show. I know the Dynamos, this is the last game, home game for the for the season. They're not going to make the playoff, but I hope they could end the season with a win. I'm trying to build on that, get condition on the off season, some strengthening stuff, you know. I don't know if you have any tickets for me for the game Sunday. I'll sure appreciate it if you have any.
I have one more pair that I got to shoot out publicly, but be ready, okay? Ready. I got to put it out for everybody. Next time, Dylan, I'll get you covered, but tonight I got to put this pair out since it's the final game. I want to give everybody an equal shot here. Is that okay?
No problem. Again, what I want you to do for me, I want you to tell Brazil that he had an excellent game for his age and working the feet like how he did on the flanks and trying to get a cross in and the control of the possession and thing. I think he's your example as a mature soccer player.
Well, you're gonna like his interview, Dylan, because he is incredibly accountable, and the interview's coming up, so get ready for it, okay?
Okay, sure. Glenn, keep up the good work. I hope to see you soon, and I'm ready whenever you're ready for me to come and do that interview, because I have a lot in my boat to let you know what's going on in my world with soccer.
Let's do it. I want to hear about it, Dylan. Thank you very much for calling the show tonight.
All right. Glenn on ESPN Radio Houston. Thanks, Glenn. Bless Soccer Matters.
You're the best, Dylan. Thank you very much. Let's go to Jeremy now. Jeremy, what's on your mind? Hi, Jeremy. Hi, Jeremy.
To talk about Klinsmann. My thing is most coaches, or at least most good coaches or well-known coaches, have an identity. I mean, you could look at an Arsene Wenger team, and you know no matter how poorly a season's going for Arsenal or him, Arsenal's going to play a specific way. With U.S. soccer and Klinsmann, he came in saying we're going to change the culture. Through the whole process now, I don't see a culture being established. I don't see an identity on the field. I think we look lost, and I wanted your opinion whether that's right now we don't have the talent and the physical capability to do what he's asking us to do, or is he just going out there and not coaching us up, not putting in an identity, not working on an identity, and not finding players that suit his identity?
Well, that's what I think we want described to us a little bit clearer is, you know, we've heard the word proactive. It doesn't go beyond proactive. It doesn't get much more detailed than that. If we look at the last two World Cups, there wasn't a lot of difference between Bob Bradley's team and Jurgen Klinsmann's. They were both gassed by the time they got to the knockout stages, right? Because of the physical efforts that they put in, which was all incredible. Don't get me wrong. We all supported that. But if you're going to navigate a World Cup, one would imagine that you got to get through the first round of it without blowing the entire gas tank out. And I think that has been a bit of a problem. Now, what's the easy solution to that if you're sitting here thinking about it? Well, it's dictate the game and have the ball a little bit more so you can conserve your energy, which the U.S. didn't do apart from the Portugal game in the last World Cup. I think U.S. soccer has to be questioned now. I think it's all fair. It's all good stuff. It's all healthy. I think our player development system in this country, Jurgen is the technical director. What is it? What are we doing? And don't just tell me we have an academy now. How are we trying to change the culture? How are we trying to create players of technical ability that are going to replace the Claudio Reynas, the Landon Donovans, ultimately the Clint Dempseys that can change the balance of a game by making one player coming up with an idea? So I think there's a lot of factors in all of this. It's not strictly just Klinsmann, but he has a lot of accountability because he's wearing two hats, and U.S. soccer has a lot of accountability because they gave him a contract before the last World Cup to really change everything here. So, you know, the question remains, have we bought into a sort of a false prophet? But then on the other hand, I'm saying, well, it was refreshing to hear Klinsmann say we want to try to do something different. And shouldn't we try to do something different? And if we fail at it, maybe we're just destined to be a country of hardworking soccer players. I don't know how that can be with the amount of people here in this country, amount of kids specifically, let's just say in Houston, that are growing up and are in a backyard doing free play with their fathers because they're Mexican, that can't be turned into skillful soccer players. I don't buy it. But the pay-for-play environment is tough because you got a lot of great coaches who are appeasing parents. There's a lot of factors that I think are going to go into this. I don't think it's the end of the world. I think there's a lot of great moments for U.S. soccer to come. But I'm trying to just kind of be that sort of balancing figure here And again, you never can place too much stock in one individual. I think that's the mistake we all make. That's what Chelsea fans make. Everybody makes. Everybody's fallible. Everybody can make mistakes. And some people live up to it and some don't. That's the bottom line. The U.S. under-23s right now are beating Canada 1-0. Mark Pelosi of the San Jose Earthquakes has the goal. And the U.S. at Red Bull Arena, Joel Campbell scored, and Costa Rica's beating the U.S. in front of few fans at Red Bull Arena. So that's pretty interesting, the dynamic turnaround here a couple days after. That loss to Costa Rica won't be good either on the back end of the U.S. losing to Mexico. Anything else, Jeremy?
I kind of just had a small bone to pick while you got on the topic of player development and
sure.
U.S. soccer. I mean, having played soccer and everything at a young age, if you look at the quality of coaching, and I'm not knocking anyone personally for not knowing the game as well as I think they should, but the quality of coaching and what is done at a youth training level transcending into players going and looking for colleges to play at where they're only playing 3 months, maybe 4 months out of the whole year, and then the coach isn't even allowed to, you know, work with them. How is that gonna – I mean, that is only, in my opinion, one of the biggest negative effects on U.S. soccer is that, okay, our best players in the country go to college, and then they stop developing. I mean, it's kind
of that's beginning.
Pro League,
yeah, that's beginning to change. You're right to point that out. That's beginning to change because now more players are, you know, they're going to have to make it financially sound and provide a bigger path to get to MLS and to get to the pros. You're not going to get wealthy doing it, but there are going to be more USL Pro teams involved. I think you're going to see teams in MLS who make a real genuine effort to build and want to be known for being teams that develop their own players. And you're going to see some that are going to do just enough to make you think that they're going all out in it. And I think you're going to see some teams reap the benefits. You truly got to believe that you can produce players. You truly have to hire the best coaches. All of this costs a ton of money, but this is what happens around the world in a lot of different countries. You know, we're never going to be able to replicate what it's like to be in South America or in Europe, where players are playing to move up in a social status and are playing to move on and change their lives. Some of that could be happening here, but not quite as much as in South America or in Europe. So there's a lot of things going on here. I don't think there's any question, but I think for me, I'd like to know a few more details of what is U.S. soccer's plan? What is Jurgen Klinsmann's plan in player development in the future? Where are we going? What's the 5, 10, and 15-year plan? And how are we going to produce more Landon Donovans in a country where we have so many participating in the game?
I agree. Thank you for the call. I'll hop off now and listen. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeremy, for calling in. Nice comments there. I like that from a young guy as well. 713-780-3776. Okay, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. Naib Moran is going to join me of ESPN FC. We'll get his thoughts on the U.S.-Mexico. We're going to run the DeMarcus Beasley interview, Naib. We're going to get your thoughts on that as well. We will take a break. We're coming back with more as we hit a break here. Quick word here from Amigo Energy. They remind you that November 1st is daylight savings time, and any time is electricity savings time for Amigo Energy. This month's featured product is Assurance 24. This program offers a single all-in rate at all usage levels with no customer service or payment fees. I love that. No customer service or hidden fees. This program is ideal for apartments or for anyone who doesn't use a lot of electricity. So if you're tired of getting hit with low usage fees or having to pay fees when you call in your payment, well, Assurance 24 is a program for you. Go to www.amigoenergy.com/soccermatters and roll today. It's amigoenergy.com, 888-995-9299.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the Gau Studios in Houston, here's Glenn Davis.
I don't need to say anything to them. You know, I think, as I said before, you know, everybody can express his opinion. And not everybody likes you. That's totally fine. You know, I'm not here to be liked. You know, I'm trying to do a good job, and I'm privileged to have that role and represent the U.S. soccer program. It's a privilege for me. So I do my best to my capabilities and leave the judgment out there for you guys or for people that want to express themselves. That's fine.
So that was Jurgen Klinsmann. The Daspit Law Firm is working for you 24-7. The Houston personal injury attorney handles personal injury cases from plant and refinery accidents, medical injuries, to industrial accidents. It's DaspitLaw.com. Call 713-364-0915. DaspitLaw.com. And again, with John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, you can rest more assured in times of stress depending on the circumstances of your accident that you have a hard-hitting personal injury attorney on your side to fight for your right for compensation. It's 888-273-1045 in English and Spanish. 888-273-1045 in English and Spanish. Soccer Matters thanks to Daspit Law Firm. And, of course, Bud Light. Soccer fans, Bud Light has been the official sponsor of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 for years. Without Bud Light, I never would have got on the air. So I want to remind you that Bud Light has been such a wonderful supporter of both me and this soccer program and the sport of soccer here in Houston. So think about these sponsors when you walk in a grocery store. Bud Light, the perfect beer for whatever happens. Bud Light is the official beer of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. With that, Naib Moran comes in from ESPN FC. Naib, you've heard a lot of the chatter. You've done a lot of research on this. You saw the game. Your overall thoughts on the U.S.-Mexico?
Yeah, well, Glenn, first of all, thanks for inviting me. As always, a great chatting with you here in the show. It's something to keep in mind. I mean, out of the last six finals that Mexico and the U.S. have played in CONCACAF final, this time it was a CONCACAF Cup. Other times it has been a Gold Cup. It's five wins for Mexico, and the difference of goals is 18 for Mexico, six goals for the U.S. You know, I think a lot of people coming into this match, considering the fact that it's an interim manager, Ricardo Tuca Ferretti. Well, in the U.S., it was Jurgen Klinsmann, who has been having a process since 2011. One would have expected a better, more molded U.S. team against a Mexico team that is kind of experimenting at the moment. It doesn't have a solid lineup in a sense, you know. And I think that's what surprised many out of the outcome. You know, I do think that there was a scenario in the match that, you know, Mexico had a lot of opportunities. But I think the U.S. was in there, you know. It was 2-2, and the goal from Paul Aguilar came in the 118th minute, you know. It was smelling like penalty kicks. But, you know, it did look like a match in which Mexico had possession of the ball and dominated for large parts of the game.
Naib, what would the reaction be if that game went to penalty kicks and the U.S. won on penalty kicks right now? How would the reaction be different in both countries?
It would have been shattering, I think, for Mexico fans, because the win was there. You know, I think there was this idea that the domination was pretty obvious, and Mexico always seems to miss this chance of having the rival right there, you know, back in the defense, but not able to score the opportunities. And, you know, the reaction from Mexico would have been, you know, a little bit devastating. And for the U.S., I think even with the win, it would have covered a lot of the stuff that we're talking up today in this show, that there are some problems that they still have to be resolved. And I think there, Klinsmann, his role as technical director and as coach, is being questioned, especially after this week that, you know, now the U.S. is winning in the Olympic qualifiers against Canada, but now they will have to play against Colombia for a place in the Olympics, which I think is really important looking forward in the youth teams.
Were you a little bit surprised that the U.S. was pushed back? I understand the three strikers from Mexico. I mean, this was challenging. Okay, so I'm going to say the U.S. didn't adapt to it tactically well. But as we're going to hear in a minute when we play the DeMarcus Beasley interview, the plan was the line of resistance at the halfway line. It was not to get pushed back just in front of your own 18 for a large portion of this game, which is really what happened to the U.S. I don't think there's any question. Were you surprised that the U.S. didn't react better and allowed Mexico really to grab a hold of that pelota, the thing they love, and do the thing that they love to do?
You know, I think when Klinsmann, a day before the match, I mean, he said that he had studied the coach really well. Tuca Ferretti in his clubs tends to play a 4-4-2. And all of a sudden in the game, it's a 4-3-3. Going into the match, a lot of Mexican analysts were, it either goes all good or either goes all bad. You know, because one would think, oh, well, three forwards against the U.S., it sounds like a crazy idea. But what happened there, I think it was the high pressing that you talk a lot about that the U.S. really didn't do in that much. But it was because the ball was in Mexico and they kept pushing high with the ball, you know. And I think that sort of put U.S. in a turmoil, you know.
And Naib, when the U.S. did get the ball, it was a night of a lot of unforced errors. I mean, they did not pass the ball well when they should have.
Yeah, yeah. And I think there with one of the things that I see from the U.S. is that they're overly dependent on Michael Bradley. If Michael Bradley doesn't have a moment of genius in the team, then the U.S. doesn't have any attack going forward. You know, and you put there that, you know, Altidore and Dempsey were kind of let alone, and we can say that they didn't do much, but they really didn't get the ball for them to actually try doing something. Jassy Sardes in the Galaxy is more forward, and in that match he was playing really defensive.
All right, let's go to the DeMarcus Beasley interview right now, and then we'll get your reaction, Naib.
All right, so let's just get your overall impressions of the U.S.-Mexico game in the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, it was disappointing. Obviously, no, we didn't win the game. We didn't do what we set out to do. You know, it was a disappointing loss, but like I said, you got to pick yourself up and keep going.
Was this by design to defend a little bit deeper against Mexico, or did that just kind of happen organically in this game?
No, we said we were going to pick up, you know, around the center circle. It was difficult. I mean, they're a good team. You know, we know they won't have the ball a lot. You know, we just had to, you know, try to, you know, keep our shape, keep going, and you know, try to frustrate them, you know. But, you know, they had a good amount of the ball, you know, the whole game. And, yeah, they, you know, it was a tough game. But, like I said, we had our chances, and, you know, it was a good game for the fans. But, yeah, very disheartening. And, you know, no one feels as bad as I do. So it's a tough game to lose.
In the past, wasn't it part of the success plan for the U.S. to get some better possession and a little bit more pressing play higher up the field? Was that just hard to accomplish in this one?
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough game. I mean, you can't really say, you know, if you did this or did that, you know, would have been better. You know, if we would have pressed them high, would they have passed through us? Who knows? You know, obviously, yeah, 100% we could have passed the ball better. You know, 100%, especially in the second half, we could have definitely, you know, passed the ball better. But, yeah, they made use of our mistakes, you know, especially on the last goal. You know, I mean, he hit an unbelievable goal. You know, should I have stepped? Probably not. But I look at it as this, you know, in soccer, football it's a very thin line, you know, between being the hero and being the loser. And this one, I was a loser. 9 out of 10, I make that play. 9 out of 10, he won't hit that golazo like he did. But that's football. That's the game, you know. I put it on my shoulders. It was my mistake. But at the same time, yeah. Does it make me a bad player? No. I mean, am I disappointed? Yeah. I mean, I felt like I said, no one's felt as bad as I do. It was a tough way to lose a game, especially with, you know, me, you know, stepping up. Probably shouldn't have. You know, just a quick decision. You know, it was a quick decision. I thought I could have got it, or I should win the win. And it happens in football, but, yeah, it's a tough way to lose. I picked myself up. You know, I got a game Sunday. Get that behind me and keep going.
Is it a bit unsettled now? I mean, the locker room obviously is probably very disappointed like you. These are big games. There's a lot of emotion, passion. There's everything involved in it. Not being able to go to the Confederations Cup. What was the locker room like?
Oddly enough, I had doping, so I didn't get to see the boys after the game. I had to go straight to doping, so I didn't see. But yeah, I mean, obviously, I can imagine the mood was, you know, pretty low. I mean, obviously, when you lose against your rival, when you lose any big game, it doesn't matter if it was rival. I mean, I think playing Mexico made it a little bit worse. But yeah, if we would have lost to Jamaica, it would have been the same. You know, it would have been the same. You know, obviously the feeling, you know, it was low. Everybody was, you know, I was disappointed, and you know. But like I said, we're players. We gotta, you know, be men. Stand up to it, and go from there. You know, we all have, you know, things coming up. and, you know, we need to, you know, be better for your club, for the national team. So, you know, this game is only going to make us stronger.
Marcus, how much pressure did you guys feel? I mean, did you feel like it was just wave after wave coming? Did you feel comfortable defending deep? What was it like when you were out in the midst of that? Because they obviously backed you guys in.
Yeah, I mean, we defended a lot. I mean, I thought for the most part, I mean, yeah, obviously they got through a couple of times, but I thought for the most part we're okay. I mean, we defended a lot, but I thought we defended okay, you know. You know, they got a maybe, I think, one in the second half, a clear-cut chance. You know, obviously the goals they scored, obviously, you know, aside from that. But, yeah, I thought we defended okay. We got a chance to go forward. We had a couple counterattacks that, you know, Josie had a couple shots to get to the keeper. You know, I pulled mine a little bit closer to the keeper. Should have pulled it back a little more. So, I mean, we definitely had a couple of chances that we could have, you know, made more use of. But, yeah, I thought, you know, yeah, we defended a lot, but I thought we defended okay.
DeMarcus, thank you very much for being so candid. We appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Thanks.
That's DeMarcus Beasley from this morning down at Houston Dynamo Training. So, Naib Moran of ESPN FC, who's in studio with me, react to that interview.
I mean, I think he says something really important. He says they made use of our mistakes, you know, and I think that was one of the keys over there in the game. You know, coming into this match, Klinsmann said something interesting about the players that are above 30 years old and how this match could have been their last one, you know, that he's trying to integrate these other new players. And you know, Beasley hadn't showed up in that many last games with the U.S. What I do get as well is there was a lot of attack from Mexico coming from that side where Beasley was.
Well, three goals came from there, but I'm going to attach it to Jermaine Jones. I just don't think that was comfortable.
Yeah.
Beasley and Jones.
And had they played before there together?
I don't think a lot, not a lot.
And you know, and consider this is a big game here, and having to have that communication, especially with the, you know, with the left back and the left midfielder, I think that was key. And you know, Beasley, I think, showed a lot of maturity with what he said and everything.
Absolutely, and a lot of accountability.
Yeah, a lot of accountability. I think that's one of the things. And we'll see if Klinsmann considers him for the next call-ups.
Thank you, Naib. Okay, stay with us, Naib. Quick word here as we head to break. And by the way, Brandon Isaac, stay with us. Amigo Energy reminds you that November 1st is daylight savings time. Anytime is electricity savings time for Amigo Energy. This month, the featured product, Assurance 24. The program offers a single all-in rate at all usage levels with no customer service or payment fees. The program is ideal for apartments or for anyone who doesn't use a lot of electricity. Now, if you're tired of getting hit with the low usage fees or having to pay fees when you call in your payment, well, guess what? Assurance 24 is a program for you. Go to www.amigoenergy.com/soccermatters. www.amigoenergy.com/soccermatters. Enroll today. Support Amigo Energy, 888-995-9299. That's 888-995-9299. We'll take a break. We got more to come here. Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. 7-Up Bud Light Break.
ESPN 97.5.